From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, February 19th. I'm Abby Lorico. The documentary, My Mama Jo, Hope and Help, explores the challenges families face caring for a loved one with Alzheimer's disease.
One of the things is when you're dealing with caregiving, when you're dealing with dementia, folks often do so in secrecy and shame. And we wanted other families to know that they're not alone.
A conversation with the producer of the film, which is based on a project based in St. Louis, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Health officials in Illinois say a second person in the Metro East has been infected with measles. Both patients live in Madison County. STLPR's Sarah Fentum reports people may have been exposed to measles at half a dozen locations this month.
The announcement came one day after officials said a person with measles flew into St. Louis-Lambert International Airport earlier this month and later visited a church in Collinsville. People may also have been exposed to the virus at the YMCA in Edwardsville on February 11th and the Schnucks in Edwardsville on February 14th. Those who have been exposed should keep an eye out for measles symptoms, which include fever, cough, and runny nose and eyes, in addition to the telltale red measles rash. That's especially true for those who are not vaccinated. Health officials say the standard two-dose measles vaccine offers very strong protection against catching and spreading the virus, but that the sickness can spread quickly among unvaccinated people. I'm Sarah Fentum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Boeing announced it will return its security headquarters to the St. Louis region. The headquarters have been located in Chicago and Arlington, Virginia, since the move away from St. Louis in 2017. In a statement, Boeing Defense, Space, and Security CEO Steve Parker said the move will put leaders alongside workers in the region. The company employs more than 18,000 people in the St. Louis area at its facilities in St. Louis County, St. Charles, and Muskoka, Illinois. Those facilities develop, design, and produce defense and space products. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth joined Missouri Governor Mike Kehoe and Senator Eric Schmidt at the North St. Louis Boeing plant yesterday to tout the move, with Hegseth calling a crowd of workers patriots who are key to American defense manufacturing. Late last year, Boeing's St. Louis area union machinists went on strike for 15 weeks, the longest in the company's history, over pay and benefits. A St. Louis County woman is looking for answers after her fiancé was detained by ICE following a traffic stop. As St. Louis Public Radio's Chad Davis reports, Victor Lopez de Lara's fiancé says he arrived to the St. Louis area when he was 4 years old and has no criminal record.
29-year-old Victor Lopez de Lara is a mechanic born in Mexico and was driving in O'Fallon, Missouri when he was pulled over. His fiancée spoke on the condition of anonymity for fear of retaliation from ICE and says he was stopped for driving without a front license plate. O'Fallon police confirmed the traffic stop and that he was transferred to ICE custody. Lopez de Lara's fiancée says he's being moved from the ICE field office in downtown St. Louis to St. Genevieve. She's trying to stop him from being deported.
What do you do when a loved one is detained like that and for just a small traffic violation, you know?
When asked for a comment, an ICE spokesperson said they'd look into the request. I'm Chad Davis, St. Louis Public Radio.
Lopez de Lara's fiancé also says he had qualified for the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program, but was unable to submit his application before changes to the program during President Donald Trump's first term. The Missouri House approved a bill Wednesday morning that would restrict tax hikes on personal property like cars. St. Louis Public Radio's Lily Halloran has details.
In the 1980s, voters approved a constitutional amendment that limited how much Missourians can be taxed, but those restrictions currently don't apply to personal property tax on things like vehicles and boats. The legislation would apply the same caps to personal property tax. Republican Representative Ben Keithley of Chesterfield says car values increased during the COVID-19 pandemic.
How many people actually, you know, put a new thing on the car, put new equipment in the car, did something that actually would actually give it physically more value? I didn't. My bill went up.
Opponents of the legislation are concerned it will hurt schools, fire departments, and other local resources. It's now up for consideration by the Senate. In Jefferson City, I'm Lily Halloran, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Missouri House passed legislation yesterday that legalizes and regulates video gaming machines in the state. Lawmakers voted 83 to 66 to pass the bill, which now goes to the Missouri Senate, where it does face an uphill battle. Bill sponsor Bill Hardwick said this legislation is the best way to regulate these machines.
This bill gives the Attorney General enforcement authority. This bill is the bill that says all the illegal gaming is enforced, it goes away. This is the bill that eliminates the gray market. No more gray market.
The legality of these video terminals, though, has been a repeated sticking point in discussions over the bill. A federal judge last week ruled that the machines are illegal gambling devices under state law. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker proposed a $56 billion budget in his State of the State address yesterday. In his speech, he called for a new fee paid by social media platforms that he says would send $200 million a year to K-12 schools. Pritzker says social media is causing mental health issues for kids, and the tech companies need to pay for the damage their products have done.
Parents and kids deserve to have better funded schools. And if social media giants are going to feed off of Illinois families, they ought to support Illinois families.
Pritzker also proposed a Children's Social Media Safety Act. That would make it easier for parents to restrict their kids' access on exploitative websites and apps. Pritzker also pushed again for a statewide ban of cell phones in K-12 classrooms, an idea that fizzled previously but has taken root in some school districts. Also during his address yesterday, Governor Pritzker proposed a statewide zoning law he says will spark more home construction while drastically limiting local government control. Pritzker says the broader build plan aims to lower housing costs by making it easier, faster, and more cost-effective to build homes.
We can add hundreds of thousands of homes in Illinois with this creative approach. Illinois is up to the task, but it has to start now, here, and with us.
The plan calls for relaxed restrictions on the development of multi-unit housing, allowing homeowners to build granny flats and cutting other forms of red tape that have slowed home building in recent years. He's also asking lawmakers to approve $250 million in capital funding for infrastructure grants for residential development sites. Metro East Democrats say they are expecting another tough year of budget negotiations in the State House. Assistant Majority Leader Jay Hoffman of Swansea says he views the budget as an infinite amount of needs with a finite amount of money.
You can't have everything. You can't fund things to the levels that everybody wants. And you need to get rid of some of the fat in government, make those tough decisions, and pass a balanced budget.
Hoffman and other local Democrats say less funding from the federal government and changes in federal taxes will amount to a $2.5 billion gap that lawmakers will need to fill. Some downstate Republicans say, after Pritzker's address, that they can get on board to make everyday life more affordable. But as St. Louis Public Radio's Will Bauer reports, they're still wary of those efforts.
Senator Jill Tracy of Quincy serves as Republican whip. She says Pritzker's proposals to address affordability, like reducing utility costs, may be too late.
It's something we've been talking about for a very long time, is affordability for Illinoisans. Why people leave the state is because it's not affordable.
Tracy and other Republicans have lamented the 2021 law that's transitioning Illinois from fossil fuels to renewable energy. They say it's driven up energy prices because there's less supply. In a tight budget year like this, Tracy says she'd also like lawmakers to forego specific projects for their districts and only pursue them if there's a surplus. The General Assembly will have until May 31st to negotiate the 2027 fiscal year budget. In Springfield, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
Black women are at a higher risk of being diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. The Mama Joe Project, based in St. Louis, is on a mission to educate the public about navigating care and removing stigma through the documentary My Mama Joe, Hope and Help. The film follows the story of Joanna Caldwell and her family of caregivers after she's diagnosed with early-onset Alzheimer's disease. STLPR's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson spoke with Herb Caldwell, the film's producer and Joanna's son, about the film, why education around the disease matters, and the moment he noticed a change.
There was a phone call from my mother, and in that phone call, I left it flabbergasted because it appeared as if my mother was lying and rewriting history. And so after, you know, having 35 years of knowing her to be nothing but a person of integrity, teaching us the truth, showing us the truth, why would you just say things that are not true? But now we know there was changes in her brain and the dementia, you know, was at work. So she received the diagnosis not long after this incident I'm telling you about.
What led you to document her life and turn it into a film for education?
One of the things is when you're dealing with caregiving, when you're dealing with dementia, folks often do so in secrecy and shame. And we wanted other families to know that they're not alone, right? And so giving a face to a condition that's growing increasingly common and having conversations, you know, about it. And I think when you do that, you give power to community.
Your sister took on the role of being her primary caregiver. And the film highlights challenges Black women with this disease face systemically in getting the care and the treatment that they need. What barriers to access did your sister face having to navigate her getting help?
Stereotypes, the fact that, you know, Black women not believed about their levels of pain, about them not having expertise on their own bodies. Just the lack of information that we had, the lack of support that we had. I didn't know until starting the film project that my mother met the three highest levels of risk. Age is the leading risk factor for dementia. Again, it's not a normal part of aging, but the older you get, the higher your risk increases. And then Blacks, conservatively, are diagnosed at twice the rate than other groups. And then 2/3 of any person with dementia diagnosis is a woman. We weren't connected to any organizations. We didn't have any information. So my sister said, hey, something's going on, but the primary care physician, she's not just aging. Dementia is not a normal part of the aging process. So it's for our family always having to fight.
Mama Jo never lost her sense of humor, and that's shown throughout the film.
Happy birthday, dear.
It goes to show you that even though your person's going through some type of brain changes, decline often, they're still there.
Mama Jo passed away in 2024, but even in her final moments, she never lost sight of who she was, a child of God. What do you hope people take away from her story?
There is not a known cure for Alzheimer's disease or dementia. But there's breakthroughs. There's increasing levels of support with programs and services. And that's where I want people to find the hope in the fact that there is help.
My Mama Jo, Hope and Help is getting a special screening at the Alamo Drafthouse with a forum to follow. What can people expect?
So you get to see the film, which is right about an hour. And then what I love is immediately we get to get into audience discussion and Q&A with a panel of experts. And unless you're at some type of medical symposia, a professional or academic conference, where else can just the normal person be in a room and directly ask questions with world-class neurologists, people in the aging space, caregiving space, people who can tell us about how to lower our risk through certain lifestyle modifications. So in 2 hours, you get to see something you can connect with, you get to hear something you connect with, and get physical tools within your hand.
That was Herb Caldwell, the producer of the documentary My Mama Jo, Hope and Help, speaking with STLPR's Marissa Ann Lewis-Thompson. That special free screening of the film at the Alamo Drafthouse is Sunday. More information about that at STLPR.org. Our Jonathan All edited that piece. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri, St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, thanks for listening to The Gateway.